I want to express my appreciation for the wonderful week we've had here with you folks. Fellowship has been grand. All of you have been so congenial and nice. This lovely, warm Christian fellowship. Renewing our acquaintances with many and meeting new friends, brothers and sisters. Just a little foretaste of what's on before. I think we should appreciate our appreciation to these fine people that provide such wonderful food up there in the Palmetto dining room. And really outstanding. This evening, I like fish food once in a while, and quite often, in fact. I'd be afraid I didn't know what to do it. Some of them say that when they saw me eat, they said, "You'll have to perform real well tonight." Sometimes it's not so easy. You have to eat a lot. But I think we would just have the right amount. But it's been wonderful, and we appreciate it. We certainly thank you for having us. You thank me for coming. I thank you for having us. We've enjoyed it immensely. Now tonight, we want to combine two messages in one. Now don't be afraid. I won't make it any longer because of that. But we want to just briefly talk on our Lord's hands and his feet. Let's just read again these precious verses. I hope by reading it like this every night that you have it pretty well memorized now. That's a wonderful portion to know by memory. First, the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, and beginning at verse 9. "What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved, that thou dost so charge us? My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000, speaking of his purity and his eternal youth. His head is of the most fine gold." Remember, he was ever the divine Son of God. "His locks are bushy and black as raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set." Those love eyes, so sparkling and so pure. "His cheeks are the bed of spices, as sweet flowers, his lips like lilies dropping sweet smelling myrrh. Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. His words were like these beautiful lilies. His hands," notice his hands now, "are as gold rings set with a beryl." Again, you have his deity brought before. His glory, the deity of his person. He was the God-man. "His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphire. His legs are pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold." Notice that his feet are also fine gold. The sockets refer to his feet. His legs are set upon these sockets of fine gold. "His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet." And we talked about that last night. "Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem." I want you to turn to two scriptures in the New Testament. One in Luke 24. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Reading verse 30. "And it came to pass that he sat at meat with them," that's with these two disciples on the road to Emmaus, "he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished of their sight." Verse 35. "And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread." And as they spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. For they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that he had seen a spirit, that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your heart? Behold my hand and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. Behold my hands and my feet. That's Luke's gospel. And it's in keeping with Luke's gospel. Feet and hands are linked together. Now note in John's gospel, chapter 20. The gospel of John, chapter 20. And verse 20. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his eyes. Now John, of course, is the disciple that laid on his bosom. John is the gospel of love. Luke is the gospel of the man, the perfect man, for you have his feet, speaking of his walk. John brings out the love of God, which gives you here his hands and his side. Everything in the Word of God is perfect and is always in keeping with it, with his particular gospel. So he showed them his hands and his feet. Now, connection first with his hands, and I'm going to run rather quickly tonight. I think if you can't keep up, you want to mark down some of the references, you can always trace the, check them again on the tape. But I may run a little faster tonight. But first, the connection with his hands. Those hands that were nailed to the cross, they were creatorial hands. It says in the time 102, and verse 25 says, Of all hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. The heavens, the earth, they are the work of thy hands. Psalm 119, and the verses 73, Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Without him was not anything made that was made, says John in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And then in Isaiah 45, verse 11 to 12, just a couple of samples. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me, I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. Hands are created. You know, and then his hands are omnipresent. In Psalm 139, just one verse 10, when the Psalmist speaks about taking the wings of the morning and dwelling in the uttermost part of the sea. Even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Isn't that good to know? His hand is also the omnipresent hand. You can go into all the world, anywhere, and preach the gospel any place, and his hand will lead me. Thy right hand, the hand of his power, shall hold me. Then as he was here upon earth, as he came in, this hand, those blessed hands of his, they were used as hands of healing. You remember in Mark, or Luke chapter 5, I think it is rather, where he touched the leper. And he did it in Mark 1 as well. And the moment those hands touched the sick, no danger of him getting that disease. But he touched that leper. And the moment he touched it, there was power there. And that man was healed. Remember the man, he came to the man that was dumb. We read about in Luke 7, 33 to 35. And the Lord Jesus took and he touched that man's tongue. And the man's tongue was loosed and he spake. Healing virtue in the hand of the Lord Jesus. He touched the blind man in Mark chapter 8. He touched his eyes. And the man he saw for the first time. Healing. Sight for the blind. And my friend, he can still do the same if you are not saved. He can touch you and give you spiritual sight. He can loose your tongue that formerly cursed and swore and loose it so it'll praise him. And praise it to the Lord like we heard our brethren tonight singing so beautifully. And then the woman, remember, that was bowed down for many years, we read about in Luke 11, 13. He touched that woman. And that crooked woman was made straight. And he's an expert at making crooked lives straight. Many a person have been just a downright crooked individual, and the Lord has touched that life, and he straightens them out. It says in Luke 4, verse 40, he laid hands upon everyone and he healed them. He is power in that hand. You remember one time when Peter in Matthew 14 saw him walking on the water? He said, if it be thou, bid me come. You remember Peter got out walking on the water? And then he got beholding the waves that were boisterous. He sat to sing and he cried out, Lord, save me. Often told of that short prayer. You don't have to pray long to get results. The Lord leaped out. And that hand, he caught Peter. Then those hands not only were hands of healing, and at the same time, of course, in healing those people, they were hands of compassion. How he so graciously had compassion on the multitude. To remember those hands of compassion and power that took those few little loaves, those five loaves and two little fishes, and he break them and multiplied them. Hand that supplies. Resources unlimited. No one to Paul said, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Hands of an unlimited supply to multiply those few little things. And then the hands of mercy too. You remember David was given three choices after he sinned against numbering the people of Israel? What did he say? He says, I'll fall into the hand of the Lord because he's merciful. The hand of mercy. And then those hands of blessing. You remember the mothers, they brought up the little infants to him that he might bless them, and the disciples said, oh, away with them. And he rebuked the disciples. He said, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. And he took them up into his arms, into his hands, it says one of the gospels, and he blessed them. If you want to be like the Lord Jesus, then love the little children and bless them. They'll never forget it. The love and the kindness that all the people show the little children, they never forget. The Lord Jesus took them up in his hand and he blessed them. And then there were life-giving hands. I referred that to, well, that among the other messages, only in the connection with his voice. He spoke and he touched. He touched the little, took the little girl by the hand, you remember? Jairus' daughter, and he raised her up. He took the young man and raised him up, touched the buyer. Then I think of as we think of those hands being hands of gold, they're that those divine strong hands I give unto my chief eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You have the divine hands that give security to the believer. The hands of gold were in his hand. The security that belongs to the Christian. For those same hands that became wounded like his feet did. Remember in Psalm 22, it prophesied they pierced my hands and my feet. Those powerful hands allow themselves to be pierced. We often say it was not the nails that held them there, it was love. Love unbounded that held him to the cross where his hands were pierced. And how did they recognize him in Luke 24 that I read to you? In the breaking of the bread, they saw those scarred hands. What are those wounds in thy hands? They ask in Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 6, the children of Israel, the day when they'll be restored. What are those wounds in thy hands? He said, they're the wounds I received in the house of my friends. For all eternity, our blessed Lord will have scarred hands, the marks of Calvary, forever reminding us of his love, his hands of love for you and for me. Yes, hands assured his victory. Now, I want you to turn to Revelation just for a moment. Revelation chapter 1. And then also, that's four times right here you have his right hand. What is in his right hand? He had in his right hand seven stars. In verse 17, he laid his right hand upon me. In verse 20, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, he has the seven stars. He has the seven golden candlesticks in his right hand. The seven stars are the angels or the messengers of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So he controls the men and he controls the churches. They're all, he has the controlling hand. He said, these things, verse 1 of chapter 2, said he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. It's nice to know, he said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it there in his right hand. Demons and men might try to destroy the church, but he's there in his right hand. He's the controller of his church. Then the hands of authority. In John chapter 13, he says there that the Father, he had committed everything into his hands. The Lord has perfect control. Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands. The hands of authority, controlling the churches, he has authority. You remember in the book of Revelation, he saw no one that was able to open the book. The Lamb stood up in Revelation 5 and he took the book and he opened the book. He loosed the seals thereof. Hands of authority. Same pierced hands are hands of authority. Hands too that is in the coming day as prefigured in the turning of the tables in the temple, both in the first cleansing and the last cleansing of the temple. Those hands are going to be active in judgment. Those hands are going to divide the sheep from the goat, one on the right hand and one on the left hand. So often we say when we preach, an audience is not divided by the aisle that's down the middle. They're divided whether you be in Christ or out of Christ. And there's coming a dividing time. He knows those that are here. One contrast about the hands in Matthew chapter 27. Gospel of Matthew chapter 27 and verse 29. And when they had flattened a crown of thorns, notice this now, they put it upon his head. And a reed in his right hand. They put a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. Here, they gave him a mockery reed, a bruised reed that he not break. But I want you now to turn to Revelation chapter 14. See the contrast in the verses 14. And I looked, and behold a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And with that sharp sickle he was going out to reap, bring that deserved judgment upon the guilty world. They'll never mock our Lord Jesus again. They'll never again put a reed in his hand and mock the crown of thorns upon his brow. They'll never in mockery bow down before him like that again. My friend, when he comes, he's going to come in power and in great glory, and he's going to have a sickle in his hand. And with that, he's going to reap the ripe earth that's so ripe for the judgment of God. One other verse I just want to say in connection with the hand. In Isaiah 59 verse 1, the Lord says, My hand is not shortened that it cannot save. It's still the day of grace. And should there be someone here tonight that's not saved, he's still able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. He's mighty to save. And thank God he's mighty to keep. Then a little bit about his feet. His feet, you remember, his legs were as marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His feet, again, speaking to us of the divine man, God manifest in the flesh. The one that had all power in heaven and in earth. He accepted worship when he was here. They bowed down and they worshiped him on different occasions. Thomas said, My Lord and my God. He knew all things that was in the hearts of men. He didn't need anyone to testify what was in men. He knew what was in man. He was all-knowing. He was all-powerful, even as the perfect man. He said that all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And these feet are the most fine gold, bringing up that deity. He had majestic feet in the time past. I want to read you two or three verses. Back in the book of Exodus, and it's chapter 24, and verse 10. And it says, And they saw the God of Israel. And remember, he said before Abraham was, I am, it's referring to him. They saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet as if it were a paved work of a sapphire stone, and it were, as it were, the body of heaven in its clearness. Majestic feet. These things were under his feet. Then in Nahum chapter 1 and verse 3, the Lord is slow to anger and of great power and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord had his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. Majestic feet. Glory is under his feet. The clouds are the dust of his feet. Before him went his pestilence, and burning coals went forth at his feet. We read in Habakkuk 3 in verse 5, majestic feet. And yet, when he came down, God manifest in the flesh. We read about those feet in Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 7. Let me read it to you. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, There's never been more beautiful feet walk the shores of time than the feet of the Lord Jesus. Never was a more beautiful messenger, a more beautiful message. He came to publish good tidings, publish peace. He published salvation. And you have the same again in the book of Nahum, chapter 1, verse 15. Behold, upon the mountain the feet of him that bringeth good tidings. And in Song of Solomon again, and I like this, because the Lord came into the incarnation. It says in chapter 7, verse 1, how beautiful are thy feet with shoes, O prince's daughter. Because he came down and took upon himself the form of a man, and as a man died for sins upon the cross, now he should provide for our feet shoes, or feet shocked with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So we can stand for him, so we can walk for him, and so we can bring the glad tidings as well too. We read that in Romans 10 verse 15, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. His feet were beautiful because they brought that beautiful message. And now that he's gone home to heaven, he has left us here to bring the same good message. And those that bring that message, they are called those that have beautiful feet. And yet though he was a man, and we read about him, his feet were weary. He sat by the well in John 4, verse 6. He sat down by the well. He was weary. He had tired feet. In the upper room, along with the others, his feet were dusty. You remember they refused to wash one another's feet, and yet the Lord Jesus, he girded himself with a towel. He got down there, and he washed their feet. He was in all points tempted as we are yet without sin. He didn't take on him the angels. It says in the book of Hebrews, he took on himself the seed of Abraham. He became man, and as a man, he walked the dusty shores of time, and his feet became dusty, and they became weary. He was asleep in the boat, tired bodily, weary feet. Yet at the same time,
there were sovereign feet. There was a holy path and rough sea of Galilee. There were great waters, and there was not any headway, and in the storm they looked and they thought this old goat. But it was Jesus walking on the sea. And the sea in the scripture speak about the nations. Even the Lord. Sovereignty is over all under his control. And then there were some passionate feet. Remember how many times we read that came to cast the sick at Jesus' feet. They knew where to bring them. Then there were feet of passionate. Mary sat at his feet. And there's a prophecy about that in Deuteronomy chapter 33. Yea, he loved the people. Oh, how he loved them. This is Deuteronomy 33, verse 3. All his things are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy word. And Mary, she sat at his feet. And she learned again. Feet of instruction. And in this connection, there were worthy people. Remember when Jairus came to tell about a little daughter that was on the point of death, he fell at his feet. Worthy feet to fall down before him. When he came to the graveside of Lazarus, remember Mary ran to meet him and she fell at his feet. He said, and if you had been here, Lord, our brother would not have died. He is waiting for them to fall at his feet. John confessed himself absolutely unworthy to stoop for the means to shoo from off his feet. Worthy feet. John the Apostle, he fell at his feet from dead. And now at Patmos in Revelation 1, 17. And then linked with this, there were appreciated feet. Whenever the man did not accept the fire, he was the demon possessed with all those demons. And, my glasses. But anyway, he was sitting there in his white lining clothes, and how he loved the Lord. And he said he'd like to go with him. Wherever he went, he wanted to go with the Lord Jesus. And he said, see, the Lord had done something for him that no one else could do. And he was sitting at his feet in his clothes and in his white lining. Then the woman that was a sinner, remember, she came into the house of Simon the Pharisee, and she just loved this man of Galilee, and she began to wash his feet with her tears and her hair. She appreciated him. Mary, too, in the anointing, in John's gospel, it says where she anointed his feet, and not that she anointed his head, but in John's gospel, she anointed his feet. She appreciated him. Remember the women that came on the resurrection morning after he was in Matthew and Luke, they came and they held him by the feet. Did you appreciate him? How many do we appreciate the gift and the person of our Lord Jesus? They showed it by falling at his feet, washing his feet, worshiping at his feet, holding him by the feet, in many ways to show their appreciation. And again, he shows them his hands and his feet. How did they know his feet after his resurrection? By the scars of his feet. And his head, his hands, his feet. The head of gold. Those hands of gold. Those feet of gold. God. For eternity. But they're going to give eternity. It says in Zechariah chapter 14 verse 4, his feet shall stand in that day on the Mount of Olives. He's coming back. The feet that were once pierced and nailed to the cross, along with the tears of the mocking and crucifying, will not have this man to reign or us. He's coming back. Like MacArthur says, I'll be back. And he's coming back. He's going to reign. His feet are going to stand on the Mount of Olives. I'm glad he's coming back. No longer the death, but the reign. Returning. Peace. Then he comes back. The death in the word of God. He will crush all his enemies, the Lamentation 2, the 34, to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth. Really something, isn't it? And you think of some of the other scriptures in the book of Revelation, Isaiah, and other places, where he comes with his feet to crush down his enemies. Are going to lick the flesh, going to crush them under his feet. And that brings me to the last one. He's going to be victorious. Victorious feet. It says in Psalm 8 verse 6, thou hast put all things under his feet. Jesus 2:8 put the difference. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he has put all in subject under him, he has nothing that is not put under him, but now we see not yet all things put under him. If the good is accomplished, then it will be accomplished. And victory has been won. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we read this, for every man in his own order, Christ the first, and afterward they that are Christ that is coming, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God and the Father, or even the Father, then he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet, and the last enemy will be death. I'm going to destroy as well. Now, one crowning scripture, I want you to turn with me, Ephesians chapter 1. Book of Paul to the Ephesians chapter 1. Those hands that were nailed to the cross, my friend, those hands are going to, that right hand and right arm again will display power with that sickle and that sword. And those feet are going to be victorious. Now, let's read these two verses together. Paul, let's start in the verse 18. He says, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but all the members of the town. And he had put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And he had put all things under his feet. Praise God. The day is coming, and everything will be objection to him. Not different. Will things be the way they have to be? Then the right person will be in control. The ones whose hands and feet were still truly sealed, the nails of the cross, he'll be in perfect control then. He shall rule with a rod of iron. The coming day, and his feet, everything will be under him in subjection. My friend, he will be under. But right now, he's head of all things to the church. May I ask you one question in closing? Is he head of all things in your life? Is he number one in your life, in every part of that life? Is he sovereign? Is he the ruling one? Is he the one that has really conquered every part of you? Are you trusted to him in all things? If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. May God help us to give him his rightful place. God is giving it to him. God has given him a name that's above every name. Given him a place that's above every place. Coming day, every John is going to see that everything's going to be under his feet. But we who are redeemed by his blood, willingly and lovingly submit to him, he's the love of all things, and gladly present ourselves to him, living sacrifices, which indeed is a reasonable service. God grant it for this very day. It's a time of reason of prayer. Poor Father, we thank you so much for Lord Jesus. We thank that he is indeed God or all blessed for us. We thank that everything is going to be put under his feet. We thank that he indeed is sovereign. He has controlling hands. Oh, Father, grant that we as individual Christians might indeed allow him to be sovereign and be in complete control in our day-to-day living. Lord, we thank you for this good week together. We thank you for all our dear children here. Bless them, Lord. Bless those that are not well at this time. We commit them to it and our healing and our loving care. We just commit them to it. How we thank you for having ended that with us. The good things we've enjoyed tonight, we do thank you. And now thou dismiss us without blessing. We say thou take each one of us home and thank you. We pray in a special name for Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.